Lord, you are gracious. You give more grace. The Apostle Paul said he could do all things through Christ who strengthens him. As Jesus said, apart from him, we can do nothing. So, Lord, I know you're standing by me and you're in me and you're with us all, Lord. Help us to understand. So important, Lord, to understand, to learn from your hand, from your mouth, not mine. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title of the message is Unteachable Equals Unreachable. I'll be reading from both King James Version and ESV Version. Go ye therefore and teach and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So to his disciples, Jesus gave this great commission to teach and to have people understand in this teaching, they need to observe everything Jesus taught. It's not what the church teaches always, but what God teaches. The book of Zechariah, chapter 7, referring to God's people, Israel. Verse 11 and 12, but they refused to pay attention. And so when the disciples went out to teach, not everyone paid attention. Not everyone wanted to know what they were talking about. As Israel, they refused to pay attention and turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears that they might not hear. In other words, we've heard enough. You don't want to hear anymore. They made their hearts diamond hard, is the expression in the Hebrew, lest they should hear the law and the words that the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the prophets. Therefore, great anger came from the Lord of hosts. They refused to pay attention. It's not that God could not break their hearts. God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. God could certainly have broken their hearts, but it's that he wouldn't, because they refuse to hear. As Jesus said, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Now God promised Israel, and he promises all a new heart. In Ezekiel chapter 36, 26, a new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. Do you have that new heart? Do you have that new spirit? And I will take away your stony heart, and I will give you a soft heart of flesh. If we go back a few chapters to chapter 18, God again talks about that hard heart. Cast away from you all your transgressions and sins that you have committed. And make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? So God says, I'm going to give you a new heart, but I want you to make yourselves a new heart. Thing is, we can't. We can't make our heart new. We cannot open our hearts to God. We can't do that. But there's one thing we can do to get that new heart. Adam Clark, the theologian, said, cast away with a holy violence, dash away every transgression and incentive to do it, make you a new heart, call upon God for it, and he will give it to you. You just don't wait around for God to give you that new heart. Lord, I've been waiting 20 minutes, don't have it. 20 years, don't have it. No, make yourself a new heart. Call upon God, and he will give you that soft heart. Call upon him. It's a very unusual command that God gave the prophet Hosea. Go and marry a prostitute. This was against everything Hosea and the godly men would imagine God to command. But Hosea wanted to obey all the commands of God. Hosea, I want you to marry a prostitute. This is to show how that Israel has backslidden away, and I want them back. I want them back in the fold. And so Hosea went and found a woman by the name of Gomer, and they married. And she conceived, they bore three children. And she bore a daughter whose name was Lo-Ruhamah, which means no mercy. God says, call her name No Mercy, for I will no more have mercy on the house of Israel to forgive them at all. What a dreadful, dreadful thing God said to Israel. I will no longer have mercy. And then God said to Hosea, Hosea said, say to your brothers, you are my people, and to your sisters you have received mercy. Plead with your mother, that's Gomer. Plead, for she is not my wife and I am not her husband. Why? Because she went back into adultery. She went back into prostitution. God, in his mercy, he redeemed Israel through Abraham, used Moses, but yet they went into idolatry again and again. 40 days, that's all it was for Moses to be on the mount getting the commandments. 40 days, they could wait no more, and they built a golden calf. And the Bible says they quickly corrupted themselves. And so Hosea marries this prostitute who represents Israel, fallen into sin, spiritual idolatry, spiritual adultery. And she goes back. She goes back to her gods. And so Hosea says, she's not my wife. Unless she puts away her whoring and her adultery. Lest I strip her naked and make her as in the day she was born, and make her in the wilderness, and make her like a parched land, and kill her with thirst. Upon her children also will I have no mercy. These are very strange words coming from a merciful God. And we know our God is merciful. Mercy is everlasting, says King David. But I will not have mercy upon her children, because they too are the children of whoredoms. For their mother has played the whore. She has conceived them and has acted shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers, who gave me my bread and my water. They gave me wool and flax, oil and drink. Therefore, says God, I will hedge up her way with thorns. And I will build a wall against her, so that she cannot find her paths. In the King James Version, it says, utterly take them away. I will utterly take them away. Strange words from a loving God. He goes on to say, sow for yourselves righteousness. After this proclamation of destruction, after this proclamation of doom, God says, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap steadfast love. I'm not going to show you mercy, but you can reap steadfast love. Break up your fallow ground, the prophet said to Israel. For it is time to seek the Lord, that he may come and rain righteousness upon you. Because they were unwilling to learn, God was unwilling to save. But if they learned to break up their fallow ground is a field that has been left unplowed, unattended for a few years. It's growing weeds. even little trees will grow in that field. You know, Dale and I have some land upstate, and we have some forest and we have a field. And that forest will slowly, year by year, seed the field. And year by year, the field will get smaller and smaller as the forest takes over. You have to break up the fallow ground, otherwise it becomes unusable. Reap steadfast love. God wanted a love, an unending love for his people Israel. And so God says, I'll give you a new heart, but you have to want one. You have to seek one. You have to ask me for a new heart. And that's what David did in Psalm 51:10. Created me a clean heart. Because his heart was filthy. His heart was filled of the scum of adultery and murder. Created me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Renew means to make new again. David's heart was once new, but it became hard. It became fallow ground. And all manner of sin was growing in it. Make it new again is what David prayed. Renew. In the parable Jesus gave of the sower and the seed, some of that seed fell upon hard ground. Some of the seed fell upon rocky ground. And didn't have, the plant didn't send down deep roots, and it died. The seed on the hard ground was plucked away by the birds. Some seed fell on thorny ground, and the thorns grew up with the seed and it choked it out. That's the cares of life, the deceitfulness of riches. But some seed fell on good ground. What is the good ground? When the Bible says our hearts are desperately wicked and deceitful above all things, how can that precious seed, which is the Word of God, the truth of God, fall upon good ground when there doesn't seem to be any good ground, according to the Bible? We read in Luke chapter 8, verse 6, other seed fell on good ground. It sprung up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, and he said, he that has ear to hear, let him hear. In verse 15, Jesus called that ground where the seed fell and grew, he called a good and honest heart. Who has an honest heart? Who is honest with God? What does that mean? Lord, I hear you love me. I don't love you, but I hear you love me. That's what your word said. Lord, I hear you want to save me. Lord, I hear I'm a wicked sinner. Lord, I hear I deserve damnation because of my sins. Lord, I hear that you want me to be your disciple, to follow you. But I can't, Lord. I can't love you the way I am. I really don't want salvation. Don't even know what it is. Lord, what is a wicked sinner? I'm not that wicked, am I? Do I really deserve damnation? Can I really admit that I, law-abiding, good citizen, deserve to go to hell? Lord, I can never be your disciple. Lord, I can't. But this is what you can pray. Lord, take away my old heart. My old heart says, my stony, rocky heart says, I can't love you. My stony, rocky heart says, I don't want salvation. Lord, take away that stony heart and give me a new heart. Jesus gave that beautiful invitation, and some of this is a review from last time I spoke. In Matthew, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. That's an implement of labor, a yoke that the oxen wear. And learn not about me, but from me. Let me teach you. See, you cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ, for the word disciple means pupil, it means learner, it means follower. You cannot be a disciple of Jesus And that means you can't get to heaven by just learning about Jesus. There are thousands of books about Jesus. More books have been written about Jesus than anyone else. He is the most pivotal figure in human history. And it may not do you any good to know about Jesus. It may actually send you to the lake of fire. But what you need to know is to learn from Jesus. Let him teach you. So it's not learning about Jesus, it's learning from him. It's sitting at his feet quietly, in his word, in prayer, meditation. Lord, teach me. Last time I spoke, I read to you from Titus chapter 2 about the core curriculum. And if we are not steadfastly seeking to know and obey the core curriculum, we cannot be his disciples. The grace of God that brings salvation, writes the apostle, has appeared to all men, teaching us. God's grace is teaching to what? Deny ungodliness. Whatever God denies in his life, we must deny. To deny worldly lust, worldly desires. What does the world desire? Oh, to be rich, to be happy, you know, to have this and to that. Denying worldly lust. To live soberly, not to be intoxicated with money or pleasure. To live righteously, godly in this present world. Righteously means upright, honest, moral, and to live godly like God in this world of evil. So again, that core curriculum is denying ungodliness, denying worldly desires, living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You know, if you want to be a surgeon, the core curriculum contains anatomy, right? Not painting. Not painting. Not artwork. Anatomy. If you want to be a pilot, the core curriculum contains avionics, not floral arrangements. If you want to be a lawyer, the core curriculum is law, not plumbing. But if you want to be a plumber, the core curriculum is how to repair leaks, cleaning drains, pipe fitting, not astronomy. Today, many Christians are majoring on the minors, majoring on minor things, and not the core curriculum. We cannot then be his disciples. The primary work of God's grace is to bring us to learn the core curriculum. Not necessarily to witness effectively, but to deny ungodliness. Not to have a large ministry, but to deny lust. Not to be a good apologist, but to live soberly. Not to plant a lot of new churches, but to live righteously. Not to know the biblical ins and out of the Old Testament Hebrew, New Testament Greek, but to live like Christ. We can expand that curriculum. But it's still core curriculum. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, 12. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. If you want to be a man or a woman of God, you have to run. You have to flee. Flee, he says, these things, referring to the love of money. And follow. Double commandment. Flee this, follow this. Righteousness and godliness, which is part of the Paul of the Titus. Faith, love, patience, and meekness, which is like Jesus. And fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. We can expand that core curriculum even a little further. The disciples came to Jesus and they said, teach us to pray. Teach us. Is Jesus teaching you? Is God teaching you through his grace? This core curriculum. You can forget a lot of other things. I'm not an evangelist. I haven't planted any churches. Unless God wants me to. But he does want me to live a godly life. Yes, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, many people try to serve God. We want to serve God. People think, oh, that's the epitome of my Christian life. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to serve in the church. I'm going to do many great things. But Jesus said this, if any man serve me, let him follow me. See, not all people that serve God follow him. In the ESV it says, they must follow me. I can serve God by giving you a Bible message. It doesn't mean I'm following Christ. If any man serve me, let him follow me. So that where I am, there also my servant, the one that follows me, shall be. And if anyone serve me by following me, him will my Father honor. There is so much we need to learn, and we can only learn it on our knees. Only learn it as we sit at the feet of Jesus. Only learn it through the grace that appears to us all to teach us these things. To learn to be at peace. The world's at war. Our friend comes here, Judah comes from Israel. But there's just war, killing, fighting. In Ukraine, other parts of the world, there are wars going on all over the world. United Nations does nothing to bring peace. I don't think they've ever brought peace anywhere. We read in the book of Micah, Old Testament book of Micah, many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways. He will teach us his ways, and then we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he shall judge among many people and rebuke the strong nations, like Russia and Iran and others, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Right now, nations learn to war. The military learns how to fight. But the day is coming when the nations will go into the house of God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, the ways of peace, the ways of love. We are to learn many things in God's presence. The prophet Isaiah said, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakens morning by morn. He wakens my ears to hear as the learned. See, God awakens us, which we cannot do ourselves. So the Bible commands us to awake unto righteousness and sin not. We need God's grace, and when we hear the word of God, God's grace is there, as Isaiah says, to awaken our ears as one who wants to learn. But just because our ears have been awakened doesn't mean that we will learn. Again, the prophet Isaiah says, wash yourself, make yourself clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well. To do good, we have to learn. Oh, we do good to ourselves, we do good for our children, but to do good to all, as the Bible says, do good unto all men, especially the household of faith. Do good unto all. Love your enemies. Do good. Someone smites you on the one cheek, turn the other cheek also. We have to learn that. And I know there are people in the churches, again, the word church, ecclesia means called out. But they don't want to learn how to turn the other cheek. They want to learn to love their enemies. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Thessalonians and said, "But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write to you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." Taught of God. I can't teach you to love. No church can teach you to love. They can say love one another, but they can't really teach it. It might seem like they're teaching because they're talking about it. I'm talking about loving one another, but I can't teach you to. You are taught of God to love one another. We're taught of God to love our enemies. I remember when I first started preaching back 1976 or so, I preached a sermon, and in that sermon I said, it was based on loving your enemies. I said, what if one morning you wake up, you look in the sky and it's filled with Russian paratroopers, you know, with their Kalashnikov machine guns and hatred for Americans. And they're landing all over the place. And they're shooting and they're killing all of a sudden, you see one of those Russian paratroopers crawling to your front door, wounded in the battle, near death. What would you do? Open the door and kick him in the face? Or would you bring him in love, as Jesus commanded us to love our enemies, and try to bind up his wounds? You know, there are people who didn't like that when I said that, and they left the church. I'm not going to learn to love my enemies, not the Russians. Thomas Watt, I'm going to share with you a few words from some of the Puritan preachers about the Pharisees, because it was Jesus said to them, well, I skipped this verse. When the Pharisees saw it, they said to the disciples, "Why does your master eat with sinners and tax collectors?" But when Jesus heard that, he said to them, "They that be whole do not need a physician, but only those that are sick." Then he said to the Pharisees, "Go and learn." He's actually telling them, "Learn. Go and learn what that means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Thomas Watson said, "The Pharisees, though they had the law sounding in their ears, yet were dead. They stopped their ears against Christ's voice." They stopped their ears. Jesus said, "Go and learn. I want you to learn." Some Pharisees, like Nicodemus, Joseph Arimathea, did learn that Jesus was the Messiah, and he came to heal, to save, and not condemn. Richard Sibe said, "Christ preached to them, the Pharisees, yet they would not learn. Stubborn, stiff-necked, hard-hearted people." Matthew Henry said, "They, the Pharisees, were not only ignorant, but unwilling to be taught." It's not all the doctrines of the church that we need to be taught. It's not all the ordinances and the rituals that we need to be taught. We need to be taught that core curriculum. That's what we need. And if we're unteachable, we're unreachable, as the Pharisees were. In John chapter 6, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." You can't come to God on your own. You can't come to Jesus on your own. But if you do, I will raise him up at the last day. And notice the next verse, verse 45. "It is written in the prophets that they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that has heard and hath learned from the Father comes unto me." Let me repeat that. Last verse. Every man, therefore, that has heard and learned, not enough to hear, but to learn. Everyone that hears and has learned where? Not from Pastor Paul, but from God, comes to me, said Jesus. That's John 6:44. Paul writes Titus again and says, let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. We have to learn to do good works. Well, we'll do good things in our house, in our business, but to do good works for other people, we have to learn that. Last time I spoke, I preached about the remnant. A remnant of Israel will be saved. A remnant of the churches will be saved. Remember the church of Sardis? New Testament church. You have a name that you live. Christian. Born again, spirit-filled. Evangelical. You have a name that you live, but you are dead. Then he said, there's a remnant in that church. There are those few among you who have kept their garments wet. That's the core curriculum. Live a godly life. If you sin, get clean again. Right? There is a remnant. And those churches of Galatia, and in 2 weeks' time, I'll be, Lord willing, in the country of Belarus, and they've asked me to preach, as others are preaching there, from the book of Galatians. I'm preparing those messages now. The Galatians were invaded by the Judaizers from Jerusalem. Christians, who call themselves Christians, saying to the Gentiles, you must be circumcised. You must be kosher. You must follow the mitzvah. You must follow these laws to be saved. You don't just need Jesus, you need all these other laws. And so the Judaizers came up from Jerusalem and they invaded the churches of Galatia that Paul and Barnabas began, and they spoke this false teaching that you must be circumcised to be saved. But there is a remnant from those churches in Galatia. Remember what the Apostle Paul said to the Ephesian pastors. After my departing, grievous wolves will enter in, and they will not spare the flock. They will tear the flock to shreds. And they were doing that in the Galatian churches. But there is a remnant we see. Chapter 6, verse 1. Paul writes to them, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, not carnal, but spiritual, godly people, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. That is the remnant in those churches that the wolves were devouring. In Revelations chapter 3, verse 1 and following, we read, unto the angel of the church in Sardis, I'm sorry, I told you that already. But he says here, remember therefore, have you received and heard? Remember that you heard this once. Okay? The core curriculum. Remember. And so, the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of God's word, is to make us a time just remember what we heard years ago. What we heard. And after Jesus mentioned the church of Sardis and how there were a few names in Sardis that have not defiled the garments, then he said next, he that has an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Those few in Sardis, they learned to deny ungodliness, to deny worldly lusts, to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. They wanted to be taught. You know, Job, he prayed, God, teach me to hold my tongue. Have you ever prayed that? Teach me to hold my tongue. King David said, Lord, teach me thy paths. Lord, if you don't teach me your paths, I'm going to go my way. Says the prophet Isaiah, says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Lord, I'm going to go my way, which he did a couple times. So teach me your paths. Teach me your laws. Teach me your judgments, said David. And teach me to do your will. Even as David failed and committed two of the most hideous crimes, taking another man's wife and having her husband killed, yet he found mercy with God. What? He wanted to be taught. The Apostle Paul learned this by sitting at the feet of Jesus, and so can we. I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. What states were he in? I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. See, when you're abased, when you're ridiculed, when you're humiliated, you might lash out. When you abound in things, you might forget God. He says, everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both. I am taught both to be full and to be hungry. See, we only want God to teach us how to be full, but not hungry. We want to be content with wealth, not poverty. We want to be content with health and not sickness. In whatsoever state I am in, I have been instructed to be full, that's full of health, and to be hungry in a famine of health. Both to abound and to suffer need, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I'll conclude with the verses I shared with you last time in conclusion, where Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. But it's not enough just to hear his voice. And they follow me. That means they learn from me. Are you learning from Jesus? Are you sitting at his feet? And I give to them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them. Who's them? The learners, the disciples, out of my hand. No one can. Let's close in prayer. Gracious Father, there is a remnant that will be saved of Israel and from Christianity. Not all who say, Lord, Lord, shall enter into your kingdom, said Jesus. Not all, just a few. But we can be a part of that few, Lord, by getting rid of those transgressions, by truly repenting of our sins, taking that cross up in self-denial and following Jesus, learning at your feet. We need, Lord, to be taught by you. No man can teach us. We really can't teach ourselves. And we must spend time in your presence, Lord. We must spend time in your word. We must spend time in prayer. Teach us, Lord. Teach us the core curriculum. Teach us how to pray. Not just for ourselves or for our finances. Teach us how to pray for godliness, humility. Teach us how to pray for a spiritual sobriety. Teach us how to pray, Lord, for those core curriculum things. Let us not major in the minors. We only do hurt to ourselves. We look to you, Jesus, to keep teaching us. Keep teaching me, Lord, because sometimes I seem unteachable. And that means I would be unreachable. But I pray with Job, Lord. I pray with David. Teach me. Teach me. I pray with the disciples. Teach me. May we also. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.